You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your calls. First up today, Chris in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Hank. I was just driving my car when I heard you on the radio. And I'm an atheist myself, and I have a question for you, not necessarily about anything Bible-related, but can you speak for a moment about the divisive nature of religion in our world, and maybe what remedies would you see fit to, like, maybe bring people together?
Well, yeah, a couple of things I would say is that atheism, as you probably well know, has been responsible for more carnage and death in the 20th and 21st century than any religion or all religion combined. So I think what's really important is that we recognize that we are created in the imago Dei, in the image of God. And if that is true, then we treat other people with great deference and with great respect because they are fellow creatures made in the very image of God. If you look at what you get when you have a barbarian empire, you find that people are treated not with dignity, but with disdain. Reason without revelation is what led scientists to postulate that blacks are inferior to whites and women are inferior to men. But never reason informed by revelation. And that's what we're talking about as Christians. I can't speak for world religions, but I can speak for Christians. Christians know that we are created in the image of God, and at the foot of the cross, there is no distinction between male and female. We love and we reach out and help one another as opposed to hurting one another. So Christianity is not a bane in the world. It is a blessing to the world.
Right. Well, what about political issues that seem to be a hot topic in today's political discourse? Things such as scientific evolution, this theory that I heard you talking about. I mean, it just seems to me that religion serves as like a point of division in a lot of people's lives. And I mean, when you're talking about atheist regimes in the 21st century or the 20th century,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Both. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know necessarily. I just wanted to hear your answer on this. I can't really get behind any of what you said because I've seen Christians in my life, and I mean they're great people, and I'm not like dispelling Christianity as being like an evil empire or anything, but I mean we have some big problems in this world, and I just think that if we could come together behind something else, it might make things better.
Well, and all of that is great for wishful thinking, but ideas have consequences, and that's the point that I'm making.
Yeah, but I don't think that as an atheist, I mean, like, you can value people just as much as you can with any, like, worldview. I mean, I don't think I devalue people's lives just because I don't believe in an afterlife or I don't believe we were created by a Christian God. I mean, the golden rule still applies whether you're an atheist or you follow any religion. I mean, you treat people the way you'd like to be treated.
Well, but again, the point that I'm making is that at one time in mid-20th century, one half of the human race was subject to a grand experience. And that's why I say ideas have consequences.
Those were political ideas as well. They weren't just merely a product of atheist rulers.
But,
all right, like,
well, they were. I mean, look at Mao and the Cultural Revolution, where he said, we will create a new heaven and a new earth. 20 20 million died of famine, 20 million more in Chinese re-education camps. Or think of Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge, where you lose virtually in a very short period of time, I think it was about 3.5 years, you lose a quarter of the Cambodian population. Stalin.
Terrible. I'm not disagreeing
with
that.
But these are atheistic regimes, and I'm simply pointing out ideas have consequences, and the evolutionary idea or hypothesis has had huge consequences for society. Look at eugenics, where blacks and Jews and people who were thought to be misfits were sterilized or exterminated.
This isn't a product of atheism specifically, all right? I mean, look at things in Christianity's past. If you talk about the Grand Inquisition in Spain, I mean, there are terrible things that happened on both sides of the board. I don't think it's right to blame all things bad that happened from atheist regimes in the 20th century on just atheism.
Well, and that is right. You cannot make blanket statements, but the political permutations that you're talking about were grounded in an atheistic worldview. All I'm pointing out is that even when you say, well, you know, I'm an atheist, well, an atheist has to believe that nothing created everything, that ultimately life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produced morals. That's not just a benign idea that doesn't have consequences. Of course, it has dramatic consequences. It is the difference between believing that you're created in the image of God and accountable to Him, and therefore you have to treat others in the same way you want to be treated yourself. If you hold to your atheism, you are just a function of brain chemistry and genetics, and there is no such thing as right or wrong. In fact, you are fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics.
There's absolute beauty in a world that we live in, all right? The idea that our brains are so complex to create the emotions that we can feel, all these things. It was a product of evolution, all right? Like, there's great beauty and still wonder of life.
Yeah, but if you're fatalistically determined, where is the beauty? Because there is no such thing as right or wrong. You can treat anyone any way you want to.
Without religion, all right?
No, I don't think you're grappling with my arguments. If you are an atheist. No, here's the argument, and you need to grapple with this. If you are an atheist, then you are a function of brain chemistry and genetics. There is no such thing as right or wrong. Your life is fatalistically determined by how you function in the whole process of your fatalistic predeterminism.
No, absolutely not. There's still a way that we can have morality.
No, you don't have any free will.
There's still right and wrong.
You don't have any free will.
But there's still morality. We can still make determinations as to whether or not an action is right or wrong.
But it's completely subjective. It's completely subjective. So if you, as an atheist, believe that it is right to kill someone, no one can tell you that is wrong. And if you believe it's right to love someone, and if there's no one that can tell you it's wrong either, you have no objective basis for believing anything. How do you account for morality in the first place?
How can you account for it?
No, how do you account for it?
How do I count it for it? I account for it based on whether or not my actions cause happiness.
No, how did it arise? Where did it come from?
Where did it come from?
Yeah. How did it evolve?
Because as cognizant beings, we have the ability to, like, experience pain or happiness. I'll be a wild time.
Okay, but where did you come from?
Where did I come from?
Yeah.
I came from my parents.
Did you ultimately come from a banana, though, through the evolutionary process?
No, I grew, like, through, if you trace me back to our origins, came way back from, like, a single-celled organism.
Do you believe in Darwinian evolution?
3 billion years ago.
Do you believe in Darwinian?
I believe in evolution.
Do you believe in Darwinian evolution?
Absolutely.
So you believe that Darwin was right when he said that the Caucasian race had beaten the Turkish hollow in the struggle for existence, and at no very distant date, an endless number of lower races will be eliminated by higher, more civilized races throughout the world?
Absolutely, all right? Like, it was a brutal process, but as human beings, Now we have the cognizant ability to leap outside of those evolutionary bounds. All right, we don't let that dictate our lives. All right, we save the weak.
And now you are the arbiter of what is right and what is wrong. As an atheist, you cannot live a moral life. You can if you want to, but you can't account for morality in your life. That's the bottom line. You can live a moral life. You just can't account for where that morality came from.
No, well, I mean, it's accounting for morality based on a book that was written 2,000 years ago isn't necessarily the right way either.
Well, it is if you can demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And again, you live in an age of scientific enlightenment. We can build a cumulative case for that. So what you have to do is get rid of the rhetoric and you have to embrace reason. Remember, we live in an age of scientific enlightenment. You're going to have to leave it at that. Good talking to you, Chris. Hope we have another opportunity to speak in the near future. Be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments.
Are you searching for answers? Look no further. Introducing the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and expanded in 2024 by Hank Hanegraaff, the ultimate equipping resource. With over 210 expertly researched questions and answers, this book provides comprehensive answers to your most challenging questions. Whether you're a seasoned theologian or just beginning your spiritual journey, the Complete Bible Answer Book has something for everyone. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Madison. Madison is listening in Columbia, Maryland, listening on the web. Hi, Madison.
Hi. I'm a 9-year-old girl that listens to your program, and it's really neat. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I had a question. What really, if Christians are clean and pure, then, but because, well, we're not clean and pure, but our sins have been taken from us, then what is the judgment for Christians?
Yeah, that's a good question. And what I've often said, Madison, is that what we do now counts for all eternity. The Bible makes clear throughout, Madison, that there are degrees of reward in heaven. In the book of Revelation, right towards the end, it says, "Behold, I come quickly, and I give to everyone according to what he has done." And you can cross-reference throughout the Bible, and you find that that theme is repeated over and over again. We have to work from our salvation, and what we do counts for all eternity. And this is a message that is not frequently preached, but it is a message that is over and over again found in the messages of Jesus Christ. So rather than fixate on earthly vanities such as the admiration of people, Christ makes clear that we should focus on eternal verities such as the approval of the Master, because we either store up treasures for ourselves on earth or we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And Jesus says, "There in heaven, moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal."
Yes, that is actually very helpful. Thank you. And are you saying that by what we do on this earth, we are given rewards in heaven?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And what rewards involve are both enlarged responsibilities in eternity as well as enhanced spiritual capacities. So, for example, the capacity for enjoying music is greatly enhanced if you master a musical instrument. And in the same sense, the work we do here and now will be greatly useful in enhancing our capacity for enjoying eternity. My dad used to explain it to me when I was younger as pails. They can be completely full, but they may be different sizes as well. So you're completely satisfied, but you have enhanced or enlarged capacities for enjoyment. And this whole idea of rewards is laid out, and maybe we get some time, Madison, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, where the Apostle Paul actually tackles this issue, and he says, "No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." But then he talks about building on that foundation, either building with gold and silver and costly stones, or with wood, hay, and stubble. And what he says is, when Christ is revealed, the fire will test the quality of our work. If what we have built survives, we receive a reward. If it's burned up, we suffer loss. We're saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Now, that is pretty graphic imagery, but what it illustrates is a sober reality that some Christians will be resurrected with precious little to show for the time they spent on earth. They're going to be saved, as Paul put it, but only as one escaping through the flames.
Okay. Well, thank you. So, since judgment doesn't condemn Christians, we aren't condemned to hell. What is judgment for us? I don't understand. What is judgment for a Christian? I don't understand.
Well, it's a judgment according to our works. In other words, here's what the Bible says. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, that's found in another letter, and this is Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church. So it's 2 Corinthians, and it's verse 5. Now, this is not speaking of the reward of salvation, but it's talking about the rewards of service. the more we live lives that deserve reward, the more we bring glory to our God. So again, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, says Paul, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And so that points to two things, degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. And we also see this from a practical standpoint, Madison. I mean, imagine if you went into a court of law and there were two different court cases going on. The first one was a person who just murdered someone. And the second was a person who went 5 miles over the speed limit. Now, you're watching the court case, and you see on the one hand a person who is convicted of murder and another who's convicted of going 5 miles over the speed limit. Imagine if the judge said that the punishment in both cases was going to be exactly the same. Would you think that was fair?
No.
Obviously not, yeah. Well, think about this in the eternal courtroom in heaven. There are people like Hitler or Mao or Pol Pot. I mean, people who did horrendous things in history, and there are garden variety pagans. God is going to judge them differently, so we can, on the basis of Scripture, correctly deduce that the hell of a Hitler is vastly more horrific than that of a garden variety pagan. So again, this is what Paul is saying, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call.
It's a pleasure.
It was a pleasure talking to you as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brian in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Oh, man, it's sorry, I'm a little nervous. I have so much respect for you, sir, and it's a great honor to talk to you. I'm a longtime listener, and I'm nervous because I have just so much respect for you. I apologize for that. I have a little background to my question. I suffer from very severe obsessive compulsive disorder, and I have most of my life. And I have a form of it called scrupulosity. It's something Martin Luther actually suffered with. And I have some family members that are King James onlyists. And my OCD kind of grappled onto that about a year or so ago. And I went on this quest to find the perfect Bible translation. Like, I believe that the Word of God is infallible. You know, like, there's nothing you can do to sway me of that. You know, I will blindly hold that belief if I have to. You know, I have the HCSB started using Yahweh, and I found that really cool. I became really close to some people at a Christian bookstore near me, and one day I came in about a year ago, and they showed me this Bible called the Names of God Bible, and it uses the God's Word translation. And I was curious if I think it's more of like a paraphrase. I know it's dynamic equivalence, and I was wondering if you'd ever heard of it, and if maybe you could offer your opinion on that.
Yeah, it's an interesting translation. It uses what's called a dynamic equivalency, which is very similar to what you find in translations like the NIV. There's a formal equivalency, which is more of a word-for-word translation from the original languages into the receptor language. In this case, what you have is more of a thought-for-thought translation from the original languages into the receptor language English. And the Bible, by and large, does not stray into the language of paraphrase and so forth or go beyond the range of meanings that are allowable. So I think it is an acceptable translation. We actually do have a fact sheet on the God's Word translation that gives you all the details with respect to our own scholarship on this translation.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'd like to get a copy of that if I could.
Sure. Hang on. I can get the information into your hands. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Carl next, Topeka, Kansas. Hi, Carl.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good talking to you.
I had a question. I've always kind of hung my hat on John 3:16, and, you know, I was always feeling really great because, you know, you believe on him, have everlasting life. I just heard you mention, I was on the road and heard you mention about you must repent. And, you know, if someone ever asked me, I'd always say, yeah, I've repented. But I guess I always thought repent meant to, you know, ask for forgiveness Am I missing out on something? Is there more to repentance than asking for forgiveness? Because I guess where I'm coming from is I'm probably one of those people who's, you know, asked for forgiveness, really meant it, and maybe at one time or another went and did it again and then have to ask forgiveness again. So it's like, well, did I not mean it the first time, or did it not stick? Or
yeah, well, biblically, repentance is a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of the will. It's turning and moving in a different direction. It doesn't mean that you're not going to fall into the same sin, but it means that you want to, with God's help, do it His way rather than doing it your own way. But in the process, we're going to continue to stumble and fall. That's part of the human condition. We see that even with the great apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. So the point is this: for those who want a relationship with Jesus Christ, you recognize that you're a sinner, you repent of your sin. That's a U-turn on the road of life. It's a wanting to do it His way as opposed to doing it your own way. And then you receive Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of your life, and He begins to change you from the inside out. Gonna have to leave it at that. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you so much for those that support this ministry prayerfully and financially. We can't do what we do without you. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Look forward to talking to you in the very near future on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.